Just this one little verse tonight where Jeremiah was talking to God's people, the Israelites. The Babylonian captivity had not come yet. Jeremiah was warning them about that, saying, you've sinned, you've turned away from God, and God's going to send punishment. You need to repent. You need to turn back to God. And here's what he says. Once you go back to the way you used to do it, once you go back to when you were just obedient, once you just go back to when you reverenced God, once you go back to when you just kept his commandments, he said, and he says in that verse, that's the good way. Remember when you walked in that way, it was good. And I blessed you. I took care of you in that way. And why don't you just go back? Get right back to where you were. And here's what the people said at the end. But they said, we will not walk therein. You know, it's kind of foolish when you find something that works to change it. I mean, if you've always bought a certain make of car and you like it and it runs good. I was talking to somebody yesterday and they were telling me about their car. They almost got 200,000 miles on it and they've taken care of it. Of course, you know, I always try to put a good word in for people to buy a new car when they have an old car. But this person said, nope, I'm going to stick with this car until the wheels fall off. And I said, well, it doesn't look appear like it's going to fall. They're going to fall off. But he says, I like it. It has served me well. I haven't had to put much money into it. And I'm not going to change. I just keep it. So when you find a make a car that you like, why would you change? If you find a brand of bacon that you like, why would you change? I mean, you know, I was in Meijer's last night, and I just had a craving for bacon and tomato sandwich. And we didn't have either, bacon or tomato. We had bread and mayonnaise, but no bacon and tomato, so I went to Meijer's. You know the tomato cost more than the bacon did? I could hardly believe it. I mean, I'm going to quit going to the grocery store, but I forgot what I was going to... Oh, yeah, when you find a brand of bacon that you like, why would you change? I mean, if you find something that's good, stick with it. And if you've been doing something a certain way and it's been a success, it's work, why would you change? And that's exactly what God's saying to his people. When you served me and you kept my commandments and you walked in the paths that I set before you, hey, I blessed you. I took care of you and it worked. And yet now you've turned away from me, you've worshiped other gods, you got out of that path that I set before you, and I'm going to have to punish you. Why don't you just go back and get back to where you were? Why don't you just go back and do it the way you used to do? That's the good way to walk, and I will bless you in that way. Now, I think he could say the same thing to us tonight. I think he could say the same thing. Hey, you know, you used to do things, and they worked. And you've sort of gotten out of that path, and things are changing. And why don't you just go back and do it the same way? Why don't you go back to what works? I think God could say that about our country tonight. We used to be a God-fearing country. This country was founded on the Word of God. It was founded by a group of people that reverenced God. Put some together for the bulletin for Thanksgiving. I was reminded of the pilgrims and why they came. And they were a people that sought the freedom to worship God in the way that they wanted to. They didn't want the King of England telling them how they had to worship. And they came seeking that freedom. And so this country was founded on the Word of God. It was founded by Christian men. When they formed a government and the government met, because they were Christians, they didn't know anybody better. They just prayed. I mean, when they got together to run their cities and to run their states and to run the country, they sought the God of heaven for guidance. I mean, I heard the other day about the scrutiny you have to go through when you pray in government meetings now. They were talking, I was reading about a guy that just on the city council, because he was a Christian and ended his prayer in Jesus' name, they said, no, you can't do that anymore. You can pray, but you can't use in Jesus' name. He said, well, but I'm a Christian. I mean, you let all these other guys pray the way they want. Why can't I pray the way that I want? So, no, you can't do it. You can't pray in Jesus' name. We've got to have this separation of church and state. And we've got it all backwards. We had it right, but we got it backwards. That separation of church and state was never so that the government could tell us how we could worship. The separation of church and state was to keep the government out of the church, not to keep the church out of the government. And that's what they want to do today, is not have anything to do, not have anything to do with God in the government. I mean, we put "in God we trust" on our money. We celebrated Christ's birthday on Christmas, and we celebrated his resurrection on Easter. We were unashamedly, we unashamedly did it. We didn't apologize for putting up a manger scene on Christmas. We didn't apologize for putting up a cross on Easter. We celebrated the birth and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We prayed and read the Bible in public schools every day. I can remember when I was in grade school, every day I had a teacher that prayed and read the Bible to us. Life was sacred. We protected little unborn babies. We protected senior citizens. I can remember when everything was closed on Sunday. I was a little kid, and it changed as I got into the higher grades. But I can remember we didn't go out to eat on Sunday because there was nothing open. I mean, we went to Grandma's. Grandma Manning one Sunday, Grandma Gibson the next Sunday, and it was good. And everything was closed. And by the way, don't say the preacher preached about going out to eat on Sunday. I'm not preaching about going out to eat. I'm just saying the way it used to be is that everything was closed on Sunday. And God blessed us. He blessed us. He helped us win wars. He blessed us financially as a nation. He blessed us politically. And this nation was the sought-out nation on earth. We had millions of people that wanted to come to America because they were following the American dream. And the American dream was there because we were a Christian nation that honored God and put Him first and put Him into everything that we did. The way it used to be. But then we got smart and we said, well, we need to change things. We need to do things that are different. And so, even though it worked, we took prayer and Bible out of public schools. You now have to fight with a team of lawyers to put up a manger scene at Christmas time. All of our laws are based on the Ten Commandments, but it's against the law to display the Ten Commandments in public. We kill babies. We help old people die. And everything's open on Sunday. We're trying to take "In God We Trust" off our money. And we no longer have a country that reverences and fears God. And here's a statistic I didn't know about till about 2 weeks ago. There are more missionaries sent to America than we send out. Not Christian missionaries, but there are more people that are sent to this country for the express purpose of sharing their faith, and a large percentage of them are Muslims, are sent to this country to share their faith. So, tonight, I join Jeremiah and say, why don't we go back to the old paths? Why don't we go back to the things that used to work? Why don't we go back to a nation that fears God, that everything that we do as a nation is based on the Bible, bathed in prayer? Let's have a government that seeks God's guidance. Let's have statesmen that pray like Washington, Lincoln, and Jefferson did. Let's go back and walk in the old paths. God says, those are the good paths. Those are the paths I blessed you in. Those are the paths you need to go back to. I think God would say the same thing to us tonight about our churches. Church used to be the main thing on Sunday. You didn't miss it unless you were dead or dying. They used to sing the old hymns, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty." Used to have preachers in every pulpit that would get up every Sunday and preach about heaven and preach about hell. Used to have preachers every Sunday, when they got to the end of their message, would give an invitation and ask people to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I was talking to one of our ladies this morning, and she went on a little vacation last week and was gone, but went to church. I said, "Well, how was church?" She said, "Well, it was a little bit watered down." A little bit watered down. I said, "Well, did they give an invitation?" And she said, "Well, I think they did, but I'm not sure if they did or not." In Baptist churches, they don't give an invitation, many of them. They don't confront people about their need for Christ. And I tell you what, I want every time somebody comes into this church. You see, I never know who's going to be here. I never know, like, for example, we had a young lady just walked in off the street, said, just moved into the neighborhood, and I wanted to find a church, so here I am. You say, "Brother Darrell, I know some of you wonder, well, why do you preach a salvation message every Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night? Why do you always include it?" Because I never know who's going to be here. I never know when God's going to send a visitor. And every time somebody comes into this church, they need to hear the story of Jesus Christ. They need to hear that they're a sinner. They need to hear that there's a penalty for that sin. They need to hear about the love of God who sent Jesus, His only begotten Son, to the cross to die in His place, in their place. And they need to be confronted with the gospel. I mean, there needs to be a time at the end of every service where the preacher says, "Look, you're lost, you're going to hell, Jesus loved you, He died for you. Why don't you come and receive Him as your Savior?" You need to do it now. You need to do it at today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And there never ought to be a time in this church where we don't give people an opportunity to get saved. Most important thing. And so we've decided to change things. So we come to church, if there's nothing else on the schedule, we sing these little modern ditties, as my dad calls them. These little courses that they flash up on a screen. I can just see his bald head turning red in my mind as he talks to me about that. Instead of sermons, we get lessons on current events and books, reports. There's no hard preaching. There's no calling sin, sin. There's no talk about heaven or hell. Let's make people feel good. And for goodness sakes, let's not give an invitation and put them on the spot. Look, when people come to church, they need to be put on the spot. They need to hear about heaven. They need to hear about hell. They need to hear about Jesus as the only hope to keep them from going to hell. And I'll just go ahead and take my stand. If you guys want to change this, you can fire me and kick me out. But they will sell popsicles where the devil lives before we start singing little ditties and quit preaching about heaven and hell and Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the old past. Let's go back to what used to work. As long as I have breath in my lungs and you let me stand here, we're going to do it just like they did in my grandpa and grandma's church. They're going to preach. We're going to preach about Jesus. We're going to tell the gospel story. We're going to give an invitation. And we're going to ask people to come to receive Jesus. I think God could ask that same question. Why have you changed? Why don't you go back and walk in the old past? In our homes, Dad was the leader. He loved Mom, and he loved the kids. Mom submitted to his leadership. Children obeyed. If they didn't, they were punished. There was rules, and they knew the penalty for breaking those rules. And when they broke those rules, the punishment was... Why are you looking at your mom when I say that, Terry? that punishment... See, I noticed... Oh, you broke a lot. Okay. I notice things like that. But when the rules were broken, punishment was meted out. We had family altars where families read the Bible and prayed together. And everybody had a job. Everybody had a chore. And we worked together. Things have changed. Dr. Spock, not this, I can't even do it, but not Star Trek Spock, but Dr. Spock, the child psychologist, came on the scene and said, oh, no, you violate a child's psyche when you spank them. And you just need to reason. Can you imagine reason with Terry, Donna? I can't imagine my mom or dad reasoning with me either. I was stubborn. But you say, oh, no, you need to reason with them and convince them and persuade them to do right. You don't give them a job. Don't make them work because you'll destroy their self-worth. And the family altar has gone by the wayside under the guise of letting children make their own decisions about what God they're going to worship, about what they're going to believe about the Bible and about God. And Dr. Spock, and I don't know if any of you are his fans or not, and I don't mean to disrespect him, but the stuff that he wrote came straight out of hell. It goes against this book. And if I was going to choose between this book and Dr. Spock's book, I'd sure choose the book about the one who made children in the first place. And knows how, and tells us how we ought to raise them, and how we ought to love them, and how we ought to train them up in the ways of the Lord. So why would we change? Why would we take a system that worked and change it? Why don't we go back to the old paths? Let's go back to those good paths that God talks about here in this verse and says, you go back to them and I'll bless you again. I know you've walked away from them. I know you've come away from them. Go back to them and I'll begin to bless you again as a nation and as a church and as a family. I think you could say the same thing to us tonight about our marriages. Remember how it was when you first got married? You wanted to be with each other all the time. You kissed when you were parted from each other. You kissed when you got back together. And you kissed all in between. We dressed up for each other. We smelled good for each other. We planned. Don't look at each other while I'm preaching about this. Gives me too many openings. I'm just teasing you. But we planned and we did things together. And God blessed our marriages. We decided to change things. We decided to take each other for granted. We wear sweatsuits around the house. We don't shave on the weekends. We don't do things together. And I think one of the greatest reasons that this country is suffering so much divorce is husbands and wives have quit doing things together. We get so busy. We have so many other things to do. You remember when you were courting? No? Think back. I know for some of it, it's been a long time. But you remember when you were courting? You planned. I mean, you put on your best clothes, your best dress. You know, you put on that cologne and the perfume. You just couldn't wait to be with each other. Remember how God blessed? He said, why'd you change? Why'd you change? I always remember that story about the couple that's driving together. And I've told you 10 times before, but you know, he's sitting over here behind the wheel, she's sitting over here but on the passenger side, and he looks over, or she looks over at him and says, honey, you remember when we first got married, when we would drive, that we would always sit as close as we could to each other, right up next to each other? And he looked back at her and said, I'm sitting in the same place I always have. Now, I know, we got these
these fangled things called bucket seats. And we got these things called, what'd you say, Brother Larry? Yeah. And we got these things called consoles. And you ought to just sit on top of them. Just sit on top of them. Ask for the old pass. And then number five, I think God would say the same thing to us about our personal walk with Him. First got saved, we read the Bible every day. First got saved, we'd pray every day. We first got saved, we'd go to God and we'd say, Lord, I got this coming up today, or I got this coming up today, and I need your help. We bathed in His love. We thought every day about how much He loved us, the love that sent Jesus to the cross and drew salvation's plan. We told Him what was on our hearts and what was on our minds. And God blessed. We grew spiritually because we were in the Bible and we prayed every day and we became more like Jesus every day. And we decided to change things. We fight for Bible time. We fight for prayer time. We fight for time to just think about what God's done for us. And He says, why'd you change? Why'd you leave the old paths? I want you to go back to the way you used to do it, the way you used to be, and I'll bless you again. I'll bless you again. Now, I know everything I've said tonight hasn't applied to everybody. I know some of you still do exactly the same things that you used to do in some of these areas. But here's the point of my message tonight. God says, here's the path I want you to walk in. When we walk in it, and it works. He blesses. I mean, like the person we were talking about this morning, somebody that reverences God, fears God, and delights greatly in His commandments. We get excited about keeping His commandments. And we went through the characteristics of that person this morning about how God will bless somebody like that. And so my point is tonight, if you've tasted that, if you've experienced that, if you've seen it work in these different areas of your life, why change? Why change? Why get out of those paths? Say, well, I'm going to find something better. I'm going to find something different. Why would you find something better? I mean, you got the best thing there is. You got the best thing there is. Just stay right there in that path that God wants you to walk. Right there in His presence. Right there in this book. Right there in your prayer time. And He says, I'll bless. Now here's the sad thing. Just like the sad thing in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. He wept as he delivered God's judgment on God's people. He said, look, your God wants to bless you, just like He's done before. He's got these blessings that He wants to shower upon you, but He wants you to go back and walk in the old paths. Go back and pay attention to Him. Go back and keep His commandments. Go back and reverence and hold Him in awe. And He'll bless you. He doesn't want to punish you. He doesn't want to send this captivity, but it's coming. It's coming. Go back to the way it used to be. And here's what they said. We will not walk in those ways. We won't do it. We won't do it. And a stubborn heart that keeps you from going back to God and going back to His ways will bring trouble and heartache into your life. We're talking at lunch about some of the things that are going on in our country. And I believe right now, I don't believe it's sometime in the future. I think it was in Isaiah, one of the prophets yesterday. They were talking about a certain proverb, and they were saying, it used to be that the point of this proverb was that it would come in the future. And the prophet said, it's no longer coming in the future, it's here now. It's here now. And I believe we're paying a price as a country. I believe there are churches paying a price now. I believe there are families paying a price now for their turn and walk away from God. I believe they're paying a price. I believe we'll continue to pay the price. And yet God says, all you got to do is come back. All you got to do is get back in that path. I'll bless you again. I'll bless you again. Just come back and do it the way you used to do it. And I'll bless you again. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word.